great God and our Father in heaven. Thank you so much for this beautiful October fall day, Lord. It's wonderful. It's not extremely cold. It's not extremely hot. It's just really nice. And we thank you for this day. We pray that our hearts will be in the right place with you, Lord. You said in Revelation that you wish that we were cold or hot. But for a long time, Lord, we have been in a lukewarm state, and you're calling us to move away from that and to be fired up for Jesus. Lord, definitely one way of doing this is to be in one accord with you, and especially to also be in one accord with one another here in the church as we move forward. Speak to us from heaven today, Lord. Draw us close to you. May we hear your voice in every line. May we see Christ high and lifted up. Great Father, Holy Spirit, may we bow down in your presence today and worship you in spirit and in truth. Speak to us. Anoint my speaking and anoint all of our hearing. May we hear from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. In one accord. What comes to your mind when you hear in one accord? Gary?
Unity.
Unity.
As one body.
I like those terms. I like those terms. I didn't drive an Accord to church this morning. I drove a Civic. But I'm sure at least one person in this church drives an Accord. Maybe two. I don't know. In one accord. You know, there's a song we sing. It's a chorus. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We are together again. Just praising the Lord. Yes, and one line says that we are in one accord, you know. There's something about when Christ's disciples are in one accord. There's a definite blessing to that, that nothing else can equate. When God's people move in sync, move in one accord. Ever since my early years, I was always fascinated with the military because of its order. The way the ranks move and they march in order and everything looks so synchronized. That's one of the things I like to watch about the military, you know. Everybody steps there, stepping in stride together. Imagine if we as the church were moving in stride with Jesus. Imagine if all of us were walking in stride with Jesus. And then as we move in stride with Jesus, we'd be in stride with one another as we carry out God's mission. Man, this town would have something to look at. This town would have something to hear from heaven as we move in unity, as we move in one accord. In one accord. By the way, I want to bring this to your attention. According to Daniel 8:14, the sanctuary would be cleansed after an astonishing 2,300 evenings and mornings. That's how the Hebrew literally reads. And that is a prophetic reckoning of 2,300 literal years. Daniel 9, 24 to 27's starting time would be in 457 BC, and that would take us to 10, 22, 1844. Today is 10-22, 2022. 178 years later, we identify as Seventh-day Adventist in the book of Daniel that Christ actually had the great appointment in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary as our high priest. If you want to have hope, just lean on Jesus. And you find out that you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You have a friend who has all power in this universe. You have a friend who is also judge and high priest. Our advocate and defense attorney in the heavenly sanctuary. Never let an October 22 pass away without you take note of who Jesus is and what he's doing. And today is October 22. We are 178 years closer to the second coming of Jesus than when he first entered the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary as our high priest. We should be in one accord with Jesus. We should follow Jesus by faith and know what he's doing in heaven and his preparation to come back for us. We should be in one accord with Jesus. What do you say? Amen. Amen. And I'll bring you a story from Henry Emmons, who was a Millerite that lived through that Tuesday. He says, I waited all Tuesday, that October 22, and there Jesus did not come. I waited all the forenoon, you know, before noon of Wednesday, and was well in body as I ever was. But after 12 o'clock, I began to feel faint, and before dark, I needed someone to help me up to my chamber. That's the bedroom. They call it bed chamber back then. See, we look today and don't realize how deep this was for those in that Millerite movement. He said, I was perfectly fine. But when Christ didn't come and I waited and waited, he said, I needed someone. I was in as good as health as possible. But when that time passed, I needed someone to help me up to my chamber. He says, as my natural strength was leaving me very fast, and I lay prostrate for 2 days, prostrate, flat out flat, without any pain, sick with disappointment. For them, it was a great disappointment. For us, it's a great appointment. Our focus is that Christ was appointed as heaven's high priest in the most holy place on October 22, 1844. You will see those from within that rise up to try to deny this precious foundation, this truth. But don't mind them. They have their destiny. And you and I, we have ours. Let's stick with Jesus, walk with him, believe his truth, trust in him, and obey him. Amen? If others want to be careless, that's up to them. We will encourage them to be careful. But if they want to be careless, that's up to them. We have to stand with the truth regardless. Amen? In one accord, in step with Jesus. In Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, and this is one of my favorite Bible texts. The prophet says, ah, Lord God, you have created the heaven and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. How many things are too hard for God? Nothing. What have you found too hard for you? Everything. Have you yoked up with Jesus so it's possible? Everything God has asked us to do is not only possible, but very doable and attainable through the grace of Jesus Christ. Everything that God has called upon us to do. And Jeremiah says, God has created the heavens and the earth by his mighty power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. There is nothing too hard for God. Now, considering this text against the backdrop of our sermon topic today, I want to ask you the question, does God want this church to be in one accord? All right, I hear yes and I hear amen. Is God able to transform this church to be in one accord? I hear yes and amen. Do we at this church desire to be in one accord? I hear yes and amen. Praise be to God. We all answered in the affirmative. We stand on the brink, on the threshold of a great revival. So I am here today to exhort, to warn, to admonish, to inspire, to motivate, to encourage, to entreat you not to be left out. And I'm reasoning with you today. I'm not preaching, just reasoning. It is too often the case that we plan things for the church and some just don't participate. In about 5 weeks, it will be full 6 years since I am here. Time moved that fast. I've gotten some gray along the process. You know, when the conference president saw me this week, he saw the beard, because I haven't worn the beard in a little bit. He says, preacher, what happened? I couldn't tell him I'm stressed. But it comes with age, you know. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's deep thinking. It's deep praying. It's deep wrestling and agonizing with God for this work. And it's true that there are some people who participate minimally. And we'll study some more. There's more ahead for us. We plan things for the church and some people don't participate. I do not know the reasons for the lack of participation. And I'm telling you this plainly. Could it be that some people are too independent? The United States is the most individualistic nation on earth. And it's true, what happens in the society carries over in the church. So each of us, we have to guard our hearts and minds against that. And make sure that how we act, how we behave, we are acting and behaving as citizens of heaven. God's advent people in this present world. So some, could it be that some people are too independent? Could it be that some people are too busy? We have so much to do that we give the church the very least we possibly can. I want you to think through this. Could it be that some are too self-important? I have this to accomplish and that to accomplish and that to do and this to do, that we leave out the work that God has given us right here to do. Could it be that some are too self-important? Could it be that some are just too callous? And Jesus warned against this. In the last day, he says, because the love of many heart will grow wax cold. You maybe know it in the King James Version. The love of many heart will wax cold, grow cold, callous. Could it be that some people are too callous? Could it be that some people are too indifferent to participate? I don't care. Whatever happens, happens. We must all manifest a genuine interest in our own souls and in saving others in the community. When we plan something, some people who ought to be there are not present. When we execute the said plans, they are absent. And sometimes, these are the very people who complain that we are not doing enough. But yet they don't get involved. But there is a clear call today. God is calling all of us to repentance. Let us ask God to bring each of us, all of us, to be in one accord. That's what he wants from us. In Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, the prophet says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground." I see this text seem unfamiliar to some. What is fallow ground? Who can tell what fallow ground is? It is farmland that left to go to waste. It's not being properly used. God is saying we should break up our unused land. Fertile lands of our minds. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to do what? Seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. So there is a seeking that we must seek after God. And you know what Jesus says, Brother Gary? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be. Ask and it shall be. Yes, and here we are called to seek the Lord until what? Until he rains righteousness on you. There is a work to be done, and we don't have a lot of time to do it. Don't sit any longer on the sidelines and be a walkie-talkie. There are some people that they're always just talking what can be done. Don't be on the sidelines anymore. Let's do it. Amen? Don't be a walkie-talkie. Do something in the name of Jesus Christ. And the very first thing we should do is to grow in Christ. then we should go in Christ. And then we should grow this church. How many believe it's your responsibility to grow this church? All right, I see a few witnesses. Amen. Grow in Christ. Go in Christ. Grow this church. Bloom where you are planted. Some people often bemoan the fact that only if they were in charge, they would do great good. If I was the pastor, if I was the elder, if I was the treasurer, if I was the clerk, if I was the head deacon, if I was the head deaconess, if I was this or that or something, then I would do this. Why not do it anyway? Why not do it now? Good followers make great leaders. Amen? Now, if we can only do something if we are leading it, that is self-service. That is self-service. We have an opportunity in our upcoming Hope for the End Time series to change all that. Allow the Holy Spirit to send a serious revival in your own hearts and in your own homes. What do you say? Let's start right now. Let's pray that prayer deep in our hearts, asking God to give us the born again experience. In Matthew, here is what Jesus has to say. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. And Jesus is here teaching. He says in verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. What kind of fruit are you bearing today? And Galatians 5 speak about the bad fruits. They are called there the work of the flesh. And then he speak about the good fruit. They're called the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 18 says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. What has been your contribution to this church? Have you been a savor of life unto life? Or you've been a source of contention and conflict? Have you been a great giver in the cause of God? Or are you a great taker away from the cause? Are you a contributor to building the work of this church? Or are you a contributor to tear it down? What has been your part in this work? Jesus says, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. God is calling you to action today. In verse 21, Jesus gave an ominous warning here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Verse 23, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What will you hear on that great day from Jesus? What is your current contribution to the cause? If you were to die today, and Jesus would make a declaration over you, will Jesus be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant? You have been faithful over the little things I gave you to do on earth. I will now make you ruler over the great things of heaven and eternity. Will Jesus be able to say that about you? Are we in one accord? You know, I want to share this one from Ministry of Healing, page 113, and this is talking about the physical sickness. You know, there's a spiritual aspect that we're looking at earlier. But you know, our message is a message that calls for the harmonious development of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual powers, right? It's a complete message. And when it comes to sickness and disease, and we're moving into flu season territory, they're even trying to frighten us with something again. I would even better mention their line, but do what you can to boost your immune system literally, as much as you do it spiritually. We're told here, sickness, suffering, and death are the work of an antagonistic power. Who is that power? Satan. He is the destroyer. But God is the restorer. Amen. Amen. Here's another one for you. The same power that Christ exercised when he walked visibly among men is in his word. The same power is in his word. It was by his word that Jesus healed disease and cast out demons. By his word, he stilled the sea and raised the dead. And the people bore witness that his word was with power. If most people in this room should witness a resurrection, maybe you would die from utter shock. You'd be so scared. Yet Jesus did it through the power of his word. He spoke the word of God as he had spoken to all the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament. By the way, let me ask this for emphasis. Who spoke to all the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament? Jesus. That's who the subject of this paragraph is. The same power that Christ exercised. He's talking about Christ here. He bore witness that his word was with power. It's Christ. He spoke the word of God. That Messiah that walked this earth, as he had spoken to all the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament. Jesus was the one speaking to all the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament. He spoke to Adam and to Eve. Jesus spoke to Enoch and to Noah. Jesus spoke to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Jesus spoke to Elijah and Elisha. Jesus spoke to all these Old Testament characters, Isaiah and Daniel and all these prophets. Jesus was speaking to all the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament. The whole Bible is a manifestation of Christ. Not just the prophetic portion. The portions about daily living. How we should relate to the times in which we live. How we should relate to our day-to-day activities. How we should relate to people in the school and in the workplace and in retirement. How we should relate to people that live on the same street with us. It says the entire thing, the whole Bible is a manifestation of Christ. The whole Bible. Jesus, the one who split time between BC and AD. Jesus, that when we record October 22, 2022, we are saying we are on October 22, 2022 years from the Christ event. Which means we are 2022 years closer to when he's coming again. We're that much closer to the coming of Christ. Time is winding down and character building takes time. And God can only take ready people to heaven. If we are not ready, he cannot and should not admit us into heaven, because we will start the problem all over again. The whole book is about Jesus. And there was no greater love, no greater manifestation of love than what Jesus did on the cross for us. The same power that Christ exercised when he walked visibly among men is in his word. The same power. People need to be taught, and here's another part for you. People need to be taught that drugs do not cure disease. Why am I saying this to you today? Because we need to follow the health message more closely. Literally, for our day-to-day activity. He says, people need to be taught that drugs do not cure disease. It is true that they sometimes afford present relief, and the patient appears to recover as a result of their use. This is because nature has sufficient vital force to expel the poison and to correct the conditions that cause the disease. Health is recovered in spite of the drug. But in most cases, the drug only changes the form and location of the disease. Often the effect of the poison seems to be overcome for a time, but the results remain in the system and work great harm at some later period. Page 126 of Ministry of Healing. Is Jesus your healer today? What do you look to Jesus for? How dependent are you on Christ? Are you walking in step with him? Are you in one accord with the Savior? He wants us to be in one accord with him. Now look at this one. And that's from where we get the acronym New Start. Ministry of Healing 126, pure air. And some of us, we don't like to open those windows, especially in the cold months. We should open those windows. Let fresh air through your home. You may pay a little bit more to NYSEG, but your body and lungs will thank you greatly, and your heart will pay you dividends later on. As well as presently, pure air, sunlight. And I've said this over and over again, especially in these upstate parts of New York, as we move into this season, there is precious little sunshine. And most of us don't get enough. And I'll say this to you, the darker the skin, the less you absorb sunlight. The lighter the skin, it's the easier absorption of the sunlight, vitamin D. And so pay attention to your vitamin D levels. Pay attention. The lack of it, chronic lack of vitamin D, is associated with cancer. Sunlight. Abstemiousness. That's another word for temperance. Rest. Weekly rest, nightly rest, plus Sabbath rest. Exercise. To literally do exercise. Go walk. And I think Sharon and Jim, is it every day you walk? Are most days? Pretty close. And you see them like two lean machines going down, right? They eat that food and they go walk it off. It's good to practice that exercise, proper dieting. Proper dieting. And we know that the more you move away from animal foods and the more you move to whole foods, plant-based nutrition, diet, like in Genesis, the better it is for you. proper diet, the use of water, hydrating that body, drinking enough. And I know, as people of the light, we take our regular showers. Sometimes you go to Walmart and you very nearly need a mask. Very nearly need a mask. So we use water internally and externally. Amen? Amen, amen. Trust in divine power. How much do you trust God? Aren't we all tempted to think that in some things, not that we says it literally to ourselves, but in sometimes we're like, well, I don't need to ask God on this. I can handle business. Aren't we all tempted to do that? And if God tells us to do something a certain way and it's not working out in our view right away, we think we have a better fix to the problem. How much do we trust in divine power? And the prophetess concludes this portion by saying, these are the true remedies. Pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. Ministry of Healing, page 126. And Israel, for 40 years, wandered through the desert. And they didn't have these diseases among them. Even their clothing and shoes lasted for 40 years. How many of you have shoes for 40 years and clothes for 40 years? They kept it. They were protected. They were protected throughout. They practiced healthy lifestyles, and those who didn't, we saw what happened to them. Every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies and how to apply them. It is essential both to understand the principles involved in the treatment of the sick and to have a practical training that will enable one to rightly use this knowledge. The use of natural remedies require an amount of care and effort that many are not willing to give. In June of 1863 in Otsego, Michigan, Ellen White had that vision that would become known as the health message. How many of us are familiar with the health message? How many of us have studied it? How many of us are practicing healthful living? The more we do, the less sickness there will be among us. It's true, we're in a fallen, sinful world, so there will be the effect of that upon all of us. But there's something we can do. Study that message. Practice those principles. And we will have great benefits for the now. And also it will position us in our quest for eternity much better. In Acts chapter 2, as we wrap up today, that was nicely read for us. Thank you to Brother Dunn. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And that sound, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, like divided hooves, clean, representing the clean, divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When last did you pray till you hear that sound from heaven? When last did you pray until you begin to speak with new tongues? Speak as a man converted, a woman converted, a youth converted. When last did you pray until you realize you are no longer fumbling your prayer or mumbling words, but you are actually speaking with the divine? When last have you encountered God and that personal note where this is not just saying a prayer, but this is praying to God? Acts 2, 1 through 4 is left on record for us that we have an example of with what intensity of desire we should go out after God. In one accord. That's what God wants us to do. These disciples set their differences aside. These disciples stopped vying for position. Who wanted this position and that? These disciples stopped vying for self-importance. And they realized now that their one purpose was to receive heaven's gift of the Holy Spirit. And they prayed for heaven like it depended upon them. And they trusted God like it depended upon God. And Pentecost came. And we are still reading the works of Pentecost 2,000 years later. That's the impact such praying makes on the life of the believer. A holy record is left behind. 2,000 years later, we're still reading the story. Still acquainting ourselves with the story. May we not only hear the story, but may we have the experience. We should be often in prayer. The outpouring of the Spirit of God came in answer to earnest prayer. We're not going to just get the Spirit haphazardly, but in answer to earnest prayer. They were not assembled. That's the disciples. They were not assembled to relate tidbits of scandal. They were not seeking to expose every stain they could find upon a brother's character. They felt their spiritual need and cried to the Lord for the holy unction to help them in overcoming their own infirmities and to fit them for the work of saving others. Manuscript Releases, Volume 6, page 55. They prayed with intense earnestness. Here goes that word again. That the love of Christ may be shed abroad in their hearts. Which is what the Holy Spirit himself does according to Acts. They prayed with intense earnestness that the love of Christ might be shed abroad in their hearts. This is our great need today. Where? In every church in the land. Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church, not accepted. What are we going to do when we read statements like this? We go home and say, oh yeah, we heard it. Oh, I've read this before. I've heard this before. And then we carry on the same old how. Is that how we're going to respond? Or are we going to have some righteous indignation against our own self-righteousness and wage a warfare against self-righteousness and exalt the righteousness of Christ in our own lives? I say the latter. They prayed with intense earnestness that the love of Christ might be shed abroad in their hearts. This is our great need in every church in the land. The monotony of our service for God needs to be broken up. The monotony of our service for God needs to be broken up. We can't just keep it doing the same old how. The monotony of our service for God needs to be broken up. How many? Every church member. Raise your hand if you're a church member today. Raise your hand if you're a church member. Amen. I see some hands raised. Every church member should be engaged in some line of service for the Master. Page 149 of Ministry of Healing. Catch this now. Some cannot do so much as others. For example, I don't expect Brother Lou Taylor to go knock on every door in this town. His very age demands that he approach the work differently. Amen? Brother Alvin and Sister Martha, they've been around for a while and been in this place. I don't expect them to go march to every door in this town. God doesn't expect that. Their very age is saying. So there are different parts of the work that each of us will do, but we must all do something. Amen. It says, some cannot do so much as others, but everyone should do his utmost to roll back the tide of disease and distress that is sweeping over our world. Are we experiencing disease and distress in Chemung County, in Horseheads and Elmira and Pine City and all the towns and villages around? Everyone should do his utmost, her utmost, to roll back the tide of disease and distress that is sweeping over our world. Many would be willing to work if they were taught how to begin. They need to be instructed and encouraged. We're doing a simple exercise on Monday nights, and we are there 1 year now since we've been studying the book Evangelism on Monday nights. 1 year. And we study winter, spring, summer, fall. And some people have never attended. I don't know why. But we did it in the dark. We did it in the sunlight. We did it at all times. All seasons. That's a simple step, though it sounds and seems, that we have taken to help to instruct and to encourage and to educate members in lines of evangelism and what we can do. That book is power-packed. We're learning things in that book that if each of us take it to heart and go play a part, we will see results in the name of Jesus Christ. We're there 1 year now. You should ask yourself, why have you not come? Is it important to you that we have meetings like these? Study time like these. We pause, we share, we raise the question, we seek to answer them, and we get good pointers as to what we can do. Why have you not come? Everyone should do his utmost to roll back the tide of disease and distress that is sweeping over our world. Many would be willing to work if they were taught how to begin. And the study of the book Evangelism is to teach you how to begin. Please, go for it. Yes. Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's open to members and guests alike. Welcome on. Oh, yes. And we start at 7. It's an hour, 7 to 8. Excellent. We look forward to seeing you over. Yep, we've been at this for a year. And I tell you, I've seen some gems in that thing. They're powerful. One of them that I pray in my prayer, almost every prayer now, I pray for the companionship, Heather, of his presence. That's one quote I read from that book, Luke. The companionship of his presence. Man, I love that statement to death. It's our greatest treasure in this world, is the companionship of God's presence. Yes, so we've been at it. And we are called to be in one accord. And it's not going to just happen. We saw how they prayed with earnest intensity for this result. And they prayed until it happened. We are not going to receive this holy unction. We're not going to receive the Holy Spirit himself until we have longing desire and we pray with earnestness of intensity for it to happen. My brothers and sisters, youth, everyone present, God loves us with an everlasting love. God wants us to pray. God wants us to study his word. And God wants us to share his faith. That faith that was once delivered unto the apostles that Jude says we are to contend for. These are three integral parts of the Christian experience, and the Christian growing and the Christian going is to pray, to study God's word, and to share that word. If we are only praying and studying, if we are only eating and drinking and not exercising, we're going to get obese. Isn't that true? Yes, if we eat and drink constant and we don't exercise, we will become overweight. We will become obese. And if we eat and drink the word of God and we don't share, we will be spiritually obese. We'll be spiritually fat. We'll be spiritually overweight. That's not a good thing. We want to be in sync, in shape, in step, in one accord with Christ. We have to find an outlet. Jeremiah says, the word of God is shut up in me like a fire. And when we're eating and drinking of the word of God, it's naturally, it's going to ooze out. To be frank with you, when you're eating and drinking of the word of God, we don't have to even try to share. It will naturally flow out of us. So if you are not naturally sharing your faith, go back to Jesus and ask him to lead you into eating and drinking of his word in his fountain. And as you do that, it's natural that it's going to flow out. Friends, God wants us to be in one accord with him. 178 years later of Christ entering the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary as our high priest to carry forward the final work of atonement for our salvation, we're this much closer to the coming of Christ. Character building takes time, and nothing with defect can make it into heaven. And so this day I submit to you that Christ has called us to be in one accord with him, to walk in step with him, and Christ has called us to be in one accord with one another. I'm going to pray, but before I pray today, I am inviting you to take a stand for Jesus. And I may be very literal with you. If it is your desire to be in one accord with Christ and to be in one accord with one another, you are the only people I'm inviting to stand. Those who want to be in one accord with Christ and in one accord with one another, invite you to stand. And the heavenly team is taking pictures of those standing up for Jesus today. Amen. Let's stand right where you are. And your heads are bowed in reverence to the Almighty. Your eyes are closed, or shut out the distraction. Our God and our Father in heaven, the hope of you, the hope of your love, the hope of your grace, the hope of your salvation, indeed burns within our hearts. Father, thank you for this hope. Thank you for keeping hope alive. Thank you for giving the hope of an expected end, a great future. Thank you for the hope you are, Jesus. Thank you for the hope you are, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the hope you are, Holy Father. And thank you for the help of your holy angels that work for our salvation and protection and deliverance and guidance. Today we ask that you break every chain, God, that has been binding us to Satan and his dark kingdom and his self-centeredness and self-righteousness, and set us free by the matchless love of Jesus, and may we reflect your righteousness. Father, cleanse us today, we ask. Make us pure, and as we go from this place, may each of us go whole because of what Jesus has done. Thank you, Lord, for hearing. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for cleansing us. And may we remain connected with you in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, Lord, on this October 22nd, 2022. Oh, Father, help us to walk out a different woman. Help us to walk out a different man, a different boy, a different girl, a different youth, a transformed individual for Jesus. Thank you, God. Make us to be in one accord with you and with one another. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let the church say, amen and amen.